Our Lady, Seat of Wisdom, pray for us. Come, Holy Spirit, fill the hearts of thy faithful, and enkindle in them the fire of thy love. Send forth thy Spirit, and they shall be created, and thou shalt renew the face of the earth. Let us pray. O God, who did instruct the hearts of the faithful, by the light of the Holy Spirit, grant us the same Spirit to be truly wise, and ever to rejoice in his consolation. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. The Prevenient Act, rounds to begin the day. Most Holy Trinity, I thank and praise you for this new day, and setting my will in yours, I affirm I want only to live and act in your will, thus making my prevenient act. I set all my acts of the day in order in you. Good morning, Blessed Mother, I love you. Come help me offer my first act of the day, as an act of love in the divine will to God. Good morning, my Jesus. I come to make my first act of the day, an act of love in your divine will. I immerse myself all in your holy will and embrace its immensity to multiply my act to the infinite in your eternal act. First, I make my act diffuse in all the thoughts, in the glances, in the words, in the movements, in the steps, in the heartbeats, in each breath, and in every act of every human being, from Adam to the last creatures who will live upon the earth. I offer this act to you, our Creator. Then, since all things in creation were made by God, for the love of the creature, I take this love in the sun, the stars, the earth, the sea, the birds, the flowers, and all the other things in creation, and making it mine, I offer it as so many other acts of homage, of love, of blessings, and of praise. And going up in paradise, I make my rounds for all the angels and for all the saints. I unite myself to all the heavenly court, and for each and every one, I give an act of love to you. Next, I take all that which dear Louisa has done, who has done good to everyone, and has loved everyone, and has operated in a universal manner for God and for everyone. I take it as though mine, as well as all that has been and will be done by those who live in the divine will and work in the same universal manner, and offer it to you as a still more beautiful act of love. Now I draw near to the Blessed Virgin, my dear Mother, she being ready to make a gift to me of all her merits. With the confidence of a little child, I take all she has done, from the first instant of her Immaculate Conception to her last breath, and as if all were mine, I offer it to you, O God, as the most beautiful act. And then I go to the Eternal Word made man, and ask him to make me partake in all his acts, his conception, his birth, his escape into Egypt, his 30 years of hidden life, his years of public life, his passion, his death, his resurrection and ascension to heaven. I make it all mine and offer it to you, O sacrosanct Trinity. And thus, as a poor, miserable creature, do I offer you an act most complete and most holy, since I offer nothing of my own, but rather return to you all the glory from that which you have done. Amen.
The command prayer, Abba, Father, in the name of Jesus, in the unity and power of the Holy Spirit, under the mantle of Mary, with all the angels and saints, through the intercession of the servant of God, Louisa Picaretta, please take my humble prayer and make it your command, that all be accomplished and completed in your most holy divine will. We believe, we receive, so be it. Fiat. Amen.
Morning offering in the divine will. O Immaculate Heart of Mary, Mother and Queen of the divine will, I entreat you by the infinite merits of the Sacred Heart of Jesus, and by the graces God has granted to you since your Immaculate Conception, the grace of never going astray. New Sacred Heart of Jesus, I am a poor and unworthy sinner, and I beg of you the grace to allow our Mother Mary and Louisa to form in me the divine acts you purchased for me and for everyone. These acts are the most precious of all, for they carry the eternal power of your fiat, and they await my yes, your will be done. So I implore you, Jesus, Mary, and Louisa, to accompany me as I now pray. I am nothing, and God is all. Come, divine will. Come, heavenly Father, to beat in my heart and move in my will. Come, beloved Son, to flow in my blood and think in my intellect. Come, Holy Spirit, to breathe in my lungs and to recall in my memory. I fuse myself in the divine will, and I place my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you, God, in the fiat of creation. With my I love you, my soul bilocates in the creations of the heavens and the earth. I love you in the stars, in the sun, in the moon, and in the skies. I love you in the earth, in the waters, and in every living creature my Father created out of love for me, so that I may return love for love. I now enter into Jesus' most holy humanity that embraces all acts. I place my I adore you, Jesus, in your every breath, heartbeat, thought, word, and step. I adore you in the sermons of your public life, in the miracles you perform, in the sacraments you instituted, and in the most intimate fibers of your heart. I bless you, Jesus, in your every tear, blow, wound, thorn, and in each drop of blood that unleashed light to the life of every human. I bless you in all your prayers, reparations, offerings, and in each of the interior acts and sorrows you suffered up until your last breath on the cross. I enclose your life and all your acts, Jesus, with my I love you, I adore you, and I bless you. I now enter into the acts of my mother Mary and Louisa, and I place my I thank you in Mary and Louisa's every thought, word, and action. I thank you in the embrace joys and sorrows, in the work of redemption and sanctification. Fused in your acts, I make my I thank you and I bless you, God, flow in the relations of every creature to fill their acts with light and life, to fill the acts of Adam and Eve, of the patriarchs and the prophets, of the souls of the past, present, and future, of the holy souls in purgatory, of the holy angels and saints. I now make these acts my own, and I offer them to you, my tender and loving Father. May they increase the glory of your children, and may they glorify, satisfy, and honor you on their behalf. Let us now begin our day with our divine acts fused together. Thank you, Most Holy Trinity, for enabling me to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat.
Tyree, we're having trouble hearing you. I think your connection is bad. Donnie, you want to take...
Sure. Consecration to the divine will. O adorable and divine will, behold me before the immensity of your light, that your eternal goodness may open to me the doors and make me enter into it to form my life all anew, divine will. Therefore, O adorable will, prostrate before your light, I, the least of all creatures, put myself into the little group of the sons and daughters of your supreme fiat. Prostrate in my nothingness, I invoke your light and beg that it clothe me and eclipse all that does not pertain to you, divine will. It will be my life, the center of my intelligence, the enrapture of my heart and of my whole being. I do not want the human will to have life in this heart any longer. I will cast it away from me and thus form the new Eden of peace, of happiness, and of love. With it, I shall be always happy. I shall have a singular strength and a holiness that sanctifies all things and conducts them to God. Here, prostrate, I invoke the help of the Most Holy Trinity, that they permit me to live in the cloister of the divine will, and thus return in me the first order of creation, just as a creature was created. Heavenly Mother, Sovereign Queen of the Divine Fiat, take my hand and introduce me into the light of the Divine Will. You will be my guide, my most tender Mother, and you will teach me to live in and to maintain myself in the order and the bounds of the divine will. Heavenly Mother, I consecrate my whole being to your Immaculate Heart. You will teach me the doctrine of the divine will, and I will listen most attentively to your lessons. You will cover me with your mantle, so that the infernal serpent dare not penetrate into this sacred Eden to entice me and make me fall into the maze of the human will. Heart of my greatest good, Jesus, you will give me your flames that they may burn me, consume me, and feed me to form in me the life of the divine will. Saint Joseph, you will be my protector, the guardian of my heart, and will keep the keys of my will in your hands. You will keep my heart jealously and shall never give it to me again, that I may be sure of never leaving the will of God. My guardian angel, guard me, defend me, help me in everything, so that my Eden may flourish and be the instrument that draws all men into the kingdom of the divine will. Amen.
Prayer for Louisa's beatification. O Most Holy Trinity, our Lord Jesus Christ taught us that as we pray, we should ask that our Father's name be always glorified, and that his will be done on earth, and that his kingdom should come to reign among us. In our great desire to make known this kingdom of love, justice, and peace, we humbly ask that you glorify your servant Louisa, the little daughter of the divine will, who with her constant prayer and suffering deeply yearned for the salvation of souls and the coming of God's kingdom in the world. Following her example, we pray you, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to help us joyously embrace the crosses of this world, so that we may also glorify your name and enter into the kingdom of your will. Amen. Prayer before each lesson of the Divine Will Cenacle. May the will of the Father, made known by the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit, reign in me through Mary, in every act I do this day, and every act for the rest of my life. May I enter into the eternal divine order of God to place my absolute nothingness in the heart of the Most Holy Trinity, to give to my Father the joy of fulfilling the purpose of my existence by doing all the acts of my life through the Immaculate Heart of my Mother and in the divine will. And in the same manner, may I breathe, think, speak, pray, eat, live, act, work, walk, and sleep. May my soul be devoid of any longings, wants, or desires, except for those of my beloved divine will. And may you, Lord, do with me whatever you want, long, or desire. All I ask is that you bind me in your most holy will, so intimately that I may never swerve from carrying out what I know to be your good pleasure, and that I remain so docile to the movements of your divine will, that you never perceive even a breath of resistance in my soul to your desires for me. Come, divine will, with all the angels and saints, especially my sweet mother, to touch my forehead and to imprint on it the Holy Spirit and infuse in me the light so I can understand the truths and goods that are in these writings and prayers. Amen. Fiat.
We're in volume 17, May 21st, 1925. How corruption is a cloud before the sun of the divine will. I was thinking to myself and almost lamenting to my adorable Jesus that sometimes he works in such a way that he comes and makes me suffer in the presence of the confessor. And as much as I try to resist falling into that state of loss of consciousness and of suffering, it is impossible for me. And I say to Jesus, my love, there was time last night, and there is time today for you to come and make me suffer. For now, since the confessor is here, let me be free. Afterwards, you will do whatever you want. I will be at your disposal. But no, I speak in vain. An irresistible force surprises me and puts me in a state as if I were dying. So I was lamenting to Jesus about this, and I prayed that he would not allow it. And he, all goodness, told me, my daughter, if I allow it because of the firmness of the confessor, who does not cease to pray me to make you suffer, always for the purpose of my glory and of appeasing me, if I did not concur, I would remain dishonored in you, and you would cause doubts about the truths which I manifested to you, both on my will and on the other virtues. One could say, where is the obedience of the victim in whom the very nature must be transformed into what obedience wants? So you do not realize that by refusing this which I am working, you would come to dishonor me and make them stop believing that it is I who speak and operate in you. Furthermore, you must know that in order to entrust to you the mission of my will, if I did not remove from you the original sin, as I did with my beloved mama, I removed from you the tendency of concupiscence and the seed of corruption, because it befitted the decorum of the sanctity of my will not to take its place in a corrupted will and nature. These would have been like clouds before the sun of my will, and the knowledges of it, like rays, would have not penetrated and would have not taken possession of your soul. Now, since my will is in you, all heaven, the Most Holy Virgin, all the saints and angels are bound to you, because my will is life in each one of them. Therefore, when you hesitate even slightly, or when you reflect on whether you should adhere or not, heaven and earth feel their foundations being shaken, because that will which is life of all, and which, because of its highest goodness, wants to reign in you as in heaven, does not have its full dominion, its just honor. Therefore, I recommend to you, never again call your will to life if you want your Jesus to be honored in you and my will to have its full dominion. I remain frightened in hearing of the great evil I do by merely reflecting on whether I should surrender or not to what Jesus wants from me, even though I always end up surrendering. What would happen if, may this never be, I did not surrender? I felt distressed, fearing that I might do that, and my adorable Jesus, having compassion for my distress, as I felt crushed, fearing that, may this never be, I might not always do his most holy will, came back and told me, my daughter, courage, do not fear. I told you this, and I showed you all how all of heaven is bound to that will of mine which reigns in you, so that you may never surrender to your will, since the divine will and the human will are the fiercest enemies of each other. And since the divine will is stronger, holier, more intense, it is convenient for the enemy, the human will, to be under it, at its feet, and to serve at the footstool of the divine will. In fact, one who must live in my will should not consider himself a terrestrial citizen. Rather, he should consider himself a citizen of heaven. And it is with just reason that all the blessed feel shaken, because one who lives with their same will is thinking of letting the human will enter the field, cause of disorder, which has never entered the celestial regions. But you must be convinced of the fact that by living of my will, the life of your will is ended, It no longer has reason to exist. This is why I have told you many times that living in my will is very different from just doing my will. These are free to give it and to take it back because they live as terrestrial citizens, while one who lives in it is bound to an eternal point, flows together with my will, and is surrounded by unconquerable fortress. Therefore, do not fear and be attentive. Then, as though wanting to cheer me and to strengthen me in his most holy will, he took my hand and in his and told me, "My daughter, come to do your round in my will. See, my will is one, but it flows in all created things as though divided, but without being divided. Look at the stars, the blue heavens, the sun, the moon, the plants, the flowers, the fruits, the fields, the earth, the sea, everything and everyone. In each thing there is an act of my will. And not only an act, but my will has remained in each created thing as the preserver of my own act. My will does not want to remain alone in its act, but wants the company of your act. It wants your return. This is why I placed you in my will, that you may keep company to my acts, and together with my will, you will want whatever I want, that the stars twinkle, that the sun filled the earth with light, that the plants bloom, that the field become golden, that the bird warble, that the sea murmur, that the fish dart. In sum, you will want whatever I want, and so my will no longer feel alone in the created things, but will feel the company of your acts. Therefore, go around each created thing and make yourself act for every act of my will. This is to live in my will, never to leave your creator alone, to admire all of his works, and to give to him in return for his divine acts, the little acts of the creature. I don't know how I found myself in that immense void of light in order to find all those acts which came out of the will of God, to place in them my return as act of adoration, of praise, of love, and of thanksgiving. Then I found myself inside myself.
We find a lot of things that Jesus told Lisa that we might try to work into our life, and because that's what we're struggling for right now. We're struggling worse than Lisa to be in the divine will, to stand the divine will. So I just want to go over a couple of lines that we came across. On the second page, the bottom paragraph, he says, "What would happen if, may this never be, I did not surrender?" This is Luisa. "I felt distress, fearing I might do that, and my adorable Jesus, having compassion for my distress, says I might not always do his most holy will, came back and told me, 'My daughter, courage, do not fear. I told you this, and I showed you how all of heaven is bound to the will of mine, which reigns in you, so that you may never surrender your will, since the divine will and the human will are the fiercest enemies.'" I want to get that into your knowledge and awareness. So we don't want to have the fiercest enemies both with us. We can't have it. So we want to get rid of the one. Get rid of that enemy, if they're fiercest enemies. That made an impression on me. How can we have the divine will and work with Jesus and also have our human will if they're fiercest enemies? So we want to get rid of our human will and try to keep rid of it. That's one of the things, one thing that he mentions. Then we go the next page. He says, "You must be convinced," up on top of the page, the fact that by living in my will, the life of your will is ended. So that's, we get that in our head, that our own will is ended if we live in my will. It has no longer reason to exist. This is why I have told you many times that living in my will is very different from just doing my will. These are free to give it and to take it back because they live as terrestrial citizens, while one who lives in it is bound to an eternal point, flows together with my will, and is surrounded by an unconquerable fortress. Therefore, do not fear and be attentive. And at the bottom, as we go down that page, where he says the last part of that paragraph, this is to live in my will. What is to live in my will? Never to leave your creator alone, to admire all his works, and to give to him in return for his divine acts, the little acts of the creature. So as we go throughout the day, keep in mind, be aware of the presence of Jesus in you. And it'll be harder to fall out of the divine will if you keep that in mind throughout the day with all your acts and everything you do. So that when you get annoyed at someone, all the little things that get you, takes you out of the divine will, you'll be aware that if you have Jesus, if you have Jesus in your mind all the time and in your system, in your body. So, amen.
Thanks, Deacon. May 30th, 1925. How one who does the divine will is placed in the same conditions as the blessed. The knowledges of it are like many doors of light, of grace, of divine communications, which are open. I was feeling oppressed because of the loss of my adorable Jesus. Oh, how I longed for him, his return. I called him with my heart, with my voice, with my thoughts, which his privations rendered awake and active. Oh God, how long are the nights without Jesus, while with him they pass as one single breath. As I was saying, my love, come, do not leave me. I am too little. I need you. And you know that my littleness cannot be without you. Yet you leave me? Ah, come back. Come back, O Jesus. At that moment, he extended one arm around my neck, and he made himself seen as a child pressing his head very strongly against the interior of my breast and knocking with his head against my breast to the extent that I felt it break down, so much so that I trembled and feared. And Jesus, with strong and sonorous voice, told me, my daughter, do not fear. It's me. I do not leave you. And how could I leave you? Living in my will renders the soul inseparable from me. My life is for her more than the soul to the body. And just as the body without the soul turns into dust because it lacks the life to sustain it, in the same way, without my life within you, you would remain emptied of all the acts of my will in you. You would no longer hear my voice in the depths of your soul, which repeats and suggests to you how to fulfill the office of my will. If there is my voice, there is also my life that emits it. How easily you think that I may leave you. I cannot do it. First, you would have to leave my will, and then you could think that I have left you. But also for you, it will be difficult to leave my will, not to say almost impossible. You are in a condition which is almost similar to the conditions of the blessed in heaven. They have not lost their free will. This is a gift which I gave man, and whatever I give once, I never take back. Slavery has never entered heaven. I am the God of sons, not of slaves. I am the king who makes everyone reign. There is no separation between me and them. But in heaven, the knowledge of my goods, of my will, and of my happiness is so great and so vast that they are filled to the brim, to the point of overflowing. And so their will finds no place to act. And while they are free, the knowledge of an infinite will and of the infinite goods in which they are immersed leads them, with an irresistible force, to use their free will as if they did not have it, considering things as their highest fortune and happiness, but still in spontaneous freedom of their own will. The same for you, my daughter. Making my will known to you has been the greatest grace I have given you. And while you are free to do your will or not before mine, your will feels incapable of working. It feels annihilated. Knowing the great good of my will, and you abhor yours, and without anyone forcing you, you love to do my will in view of great good which comes to you. And the many knowledges of my will which I have manifested to you are divine bonds, eternal chains that surround you, possessions of celestial goods. And if you wanted to escape these eternal chains, to break these divine bonds, to loose the celestial possessions also in this life, your will, though free, would not find its way out. It becomes confused. It sees its littleness and fearing itself, or a trick of its own, it dives and plunges into my will with more spontaneous love. Knowledge opens the doors to the good which is known, and more knowledges I have manifested to you about my will, the more different doors of goods, of light, of grace, and of divine participation I opened for you. These doors are open for you, and as these knowledges reach the midst of creatures, the doors will be open for them, because knowledge makes love arise for the good which is known. The great door which I will open will be my will, so that they may close the little door of their will. My will make them abhor their own, because in the face of my will, the human is incapable of acting. With the light of my will, creatures can see how insignificant and good at nothing her own is. Therefore, as a consequence, the creatures who will penetrate into these divine knowledges, according to the efforts they will make in order to reach them, will keep their own will aside. Moreover, you must know that when I manifest to you one knowledge about my will, only then do I decide to open another door of my knowledge. When you have let all the good of what I have manifested to you enter into your soul, if I do not do so, yours would only be the news of that good, but not the possession of it. I cannot do this. Whenever I speak, I want the good of which I manifest to be possessed. Therefore, be attentive in the practice of my will, that I may open to you more doors of my knowledges, and that you may enter more into the divine possessions.
Here Jesus is again promoting knowledge and how very necessary it is in moving us towards living completely in the divine will. As we conquer one knowledge, if we accept one knowledge and understand it, then he's ready to give us another one to continue through, to learn. He says, therefore, be attentive to the practice of my will, that I may open to you more doors of my knowledges, and that you may enter more into the divine possession. So that's why we want to keep in mind when we read in the morning, get as much as we can from it. That's the knowledge we're looking for, and that's what we're getting. So we're on the right road. Amen.
June 3rd. 1925. How in creation God loved us with complete love. How all created things are veils which hide him. How redemption serves as remedy for man. I was fusing myself in the holy divine will according to my usual way, and I was thinking to myself, where has our Lord done more for the creature in creation, in redemption, or in sanctification? And my always adorable Jesus, moving in my interior, showed me all of creation. What sublimeness! What magnificence! How many harmonies! What order! There is not one point, either in heaven or on earth, in which God has not created something special and distinct. And with such mastery, that before the tiniest thing created by God, the greatest scientists feel that all of their science and mastery is an absolute nothing compared to the things created by God, which are full of life and of motion. Oh, how many times it is that to look at the universe and not to recognize God, love Him, and believe in Him is true madness. All created things are like many veils which hide Him, and God comes to us as though veiled in each created thing. Because man is incapable of seeing Him unveiled in his mortal flesh. The love of God for us is so great that in order not to dazzle us with His light, frighten us with His power, make us feel ashamed in front of His beauty, make us be annihilated before His immensity, He veils Himself in the created things so as to come and to be with us in each created thing, even more to make us swim in His very life. My God, how much You loved us, and how much You do love us. Then, after He made me look at the whole universe, my sweet Jesus told me, "My daughter, everything was made in creation. In it, the divinity manifested all its majesty, power, and wisdom, and displayed His complete love toward the creatures. There is not one point, either in heaven or on earth, or in any created thing, in which the perfection of our work is not complete. Not one thing was left half made. In creation, God showed off all His works for the creature. He loved with complete love and made complete works. There is nothing to be added or to be removed. So I made everything perfect, nor can we do incomplete works. On the contrary, in each created thing, we placed a distinct and complete love in creation for each creature. The redemption, then, was a reparation of the evils the creatures had done. It added nothing to the work of creation, and sanctification is nothing other than help, grace, light, so that man may return to his original state of creation, to his origin, and to the purpose for which he was created. In fact, in creation, by virtue of my will, the sanctity of man was complete, since he came out from a complete act of God. He was the man, holy and happy in the soul, because my will brought to him the reflection of the sanctity of his Creator, just as he was happy and holy in the body. Ah, my daughter, with all redemption and the work of sanctification, sanctity in man is incomplete, and for others it is almost useless. Now I say this, if man does not turn back in order to take my will as life, as rule, and as food, to be purified, ennobled, divinized, to place himself in the prime act of creation and take my will as his inheritance, assigned to him by God, the very work of redemption and of sanctification will not have their abundant effects. So, everything is in my will. If man takes it, he takes everything. It is one single point which embraces and encloses the goods of redemption and of sanctification. Even more, for one who lives in my will, after he has taken the prime point of creation, all these goods serve not as remedy, as for those who do not do my will, but as glory and as special inheritance, carried upon earth by the will of the Celestial Father in the person of the Word. And if I came upon earth, this was exactly the prime act, to make known the will of my Father, in order to bind it again to the creatures, the pains, the humiliations, my hidden life, and all of the immense sea of the pains of my passion were remedies, medicine, supports, lights, in order to make my will known, because with it I would make man not only saved but holy. With my pains, I placed him in safety. With my will, I gave him back the sanctity lost in the terrestrial Eden. Had I not done this, my love, my work would not have been complete as they were in creation, because my will alone has the virtue of rendering complete our works toward the creature and the works of the creatures toward us. My will makes one think in a way which is different from the human way. It makes one look at my will in all created things, speak with the echo of my will, work through the veils of my will. In a word, one does everything all at once according to my supreme volition, which leads the creature rapidly to perfect sanctity, while the other virtues act slowly, little by little. My redemption itself, without the prime act of my will, serves as dressing of the deepest wounds, as medicine for man, not to let him die, as antidote, not to let him fall into hell. Therefore, take to heart my will alone, if you really want to love me and to make yourself a saint.
June 11th, 1925. The great evil of not doing the divine will is irreparable. How the divine will is the balance of the attributes of God, so should be the balance of man. I felt my poor mind immersed in the most holy will of God. Oh, how I wished I would do not even one breath, one heartbeat, one movement outside the supreme volition. It seemed to me that everything which is done outside the will of God makes us lose new beauty, new grace and light, rendering us dissimilar from our Creator. While Jesus wants us to be like our supreme Maker in everything, and in what easier way can we be like him other than by receiving within us the continuous life of his most holy will? It brings us the reflections, the features of our celestial Father. It maintains whole within us the purpose of creation. It surrounds us in such a way as to preserve us beautiful and holy, just as God created us, and it gives us that something ever new of beauty, of light, of love, never interrupted, which can be found only in God. Can everyone check their mute button, please? Now, while my mind was wandering in the eternal will, my sweet Jesus, squeezing me to himself with sensible voice, told me, "My daughter, there is nothing which can equal the great evil of not doing my will. There is no good which can equal doing it. There is no virtue which can stand before it. The good which is lost by not doing my will is irreparable in itself. And only by returning again to it can one find remedy and the goods which our will had established to give to the creature can be given back to her. In vain do creatures delude themselves in doing other works, virtues, sacrifices. If these are not a birth from my will, and if they are not made in order to fulfill it, they are not recognized by me. More so, since it is established that grace aids, light, goods, and the just reward will be given to those who operate in order to fulfill my will. Moreover, my will is eternal. It has no beginning and will have no end. And so who can calculate an act done in my will, which has no beginning and no end? That which my will is, such it renders the act. On the other hand, the other virtues, the works and sacrifices without my will, have a beginning as well as an end. What great reward can things subject to perish ever receive? Furthermore, my will is the balance of my attributes. If my power did not have this holy will, it would turn into tyranny toward those who so much offend me. While by balancing my power, my will makes me pour graces there where I should pour fury and destruction. If it wasn't for my will, which gives it ever new life, my wisdom would not manifest so much art and mastery in our works. Our beauty would be faded and without attraction if it were not sustained by this eternal will. Mercy would turn into weakness if it were not balanced by my will, and so on with all the rest of our attributes. Now, our paternal goodness has so much love for the creatures that it has established the balance of man within our will. Since man had come from the supreme will, it was right that this will would become the life which would maintain the balance of all the works of man, giving him likeness to his creator. So much dignity, majesty, order, and acting were to be seen in him as to make him be recognized as the birth of his maker. Therefore, also in acting, it can be seen whether there is the balance of my will or of the human will. And so this is the cause of so many works, maybe even good, in which balance, rule, order cannot be seen. The execution of my will is missing, and therefore, instead of being admired, they are blamed, and instead of shedding light, they cast darkness. If everything which is good comes from my will, without it, those are apparent goods, without life, and maybe even poisonous, which poison those who take part in them.
Well, this reading can be misunderstood, I think. He says, mercy will turn into weakness, if not balanced by my will, and so on with all the rest. It brings us into the other devotions that we partake in. They have to be put in their proper place, and the proper place is if we put them in the divine will. So if we're going to be taking part in other things, which we should, then we want to make sure that it reminds us to place all those things in the divine will, all those devotions and all those prayers, the things we say, that we offer to Jesus, all this in the divine will. He doesn't mention any words. Talks about the eternal goodness so much. Love of the creatures has established the balance of man within our will. And if he says, funds it up with, if everything which is good comes from my will, without it, those are apparent goods without life, and may even be poisonous, which poisons those who take part in them. So it could be confusing to people when they don't only be part of the divine will teachings, you know. But as long as we say, I'm place ourselves in the divine will, I think we can be at peace. Because when he finishes it up, that sentence is, everything which is good comes from my will. Without it, those are apparent goods without life. may even be poisonous, which poisons those who take part in them. So I think that might cause us to have a little second thoughts about certain things. But if just remember to put ourselves in the divine will. And if we're putting ourselves in the divine all throughout the day, then we have no fear of that. Amen.
Thank you, Deacon.